Again, don't have a special singer for you today, and I'm not going to be the special singer, so that'll be a blessing for you. Amen. You can say amen right there.
Amen.
Mark chapter 10, and the Bible says in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee,' and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you that we could come to worship you. And I pray that we can clear our mind of all distractions this morning, Lord, and focus on you. Think about our communion with you. Lord, I pray that if there's one here or more that's never trusted you, Lord, not saved, not sure, Lord, they get that matter settled today. Call on your name and be eternally saved, Lord. So be with the preaching of the word today. Convict hearts. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the title of the message this morning is Jesus Stood Still. Jesus Stood Still. And we see a man, I've of course preached on this text before. A lot of these texts, man, there's so many messages in the Bible from different texts. You can't exhaust the Bible by any means. But we see a man that he had two great problems in his life. He was blind and he was poor. His poverty, no doubt, stemmed from the fact that he was blind, unable to make a living. There weren't social systems in place probably in those days to take care of everybody that had physical problems. And so, we think about the physical problems in the Bible, and there's a lot of them, and we see a lot of them in the world today. In the Bible, they all had a spiritual parallel the physical problem had a parallel in a spiritual problem. We know the Bible, the different ones, but leprosy was one that would usually picture sin. It was something that was incurable. It was it got within a person. They couldn't do anything about it. Lameness, people, we see lameness in the Bible, a lot of people that couldn't walk well. It certainly pictures weakness on our behalf. Blindness that we see here always pictured spiritual blindness in the Word of God, and then even poverty to a degree sometimes pictured spiritual poverty, where we were without the riches of Christ. Jesus told the Laodicean church, he said that they thought they didn't have any needs, and he said they thought they were rich and increased with goods and hadn't a need, but Jesus told them that they were poor and blind and naked. Last week I spoke on the topic delusional disorder, and so there was a church, the Laodicean church, that had a delusional disorder. I had to laugh. Took Kenny Wirtz down to the hospital, down to VA hospital the other night. Boy, there's no trouble parking down there about 10 o'clock at night. Have you ever gone down there in the daytime? It's hard to get a spot. But at 10 o'clock, you can get a parking place. And we went in. There wasn't anybody in the emergency room, any patients or anything. And there was one guy behind the desk. And we went up there and, Kenny told him what his problem was. And they said, okay, have a seat. Somebody will be with you. It was starting to linger on. I couldn't believe it took as long as it did with nobody there. It's a good thing there wasn't a crowd. We'd still been there. But we were sitting out there just, carrying on like we always do. And I forgot how we got on the subject, talking about, how you look when you get older and stuff. And I said, yeah. I get better looking every day. And the guy that worked behind the desk, his head was kind of out of sight, couldn't see him. And he leaned up and poked his head out the window. He said, "You want me to admit you for being delusional?" I said, "Yeah, that might be a good idea." I said, and I hadn't heard a peep out of him since then. But I thought about that title last week, the delusional disorder. I guess I'm suffering from that. Actually, it's the opposite is true. I remember last year one time I'd been out hunting. I had on my hunting clothes and camouflage stuff, and I had a ball cap on. And I came up to the back door of the garage, had a big glass window there, And I saw my reflection in there. Hadn't shaved that morning, so all that white was showing, and had it old ball. I don't wear hats all that much, but I do when I'm hunting. Had my hat on, and I saw my reflection in the glass. I said, good night. What happened? Just what happened, man? I got another birthday coming up, man. Laugh. Well, whatever. Nothing you can do about it. Might as well laugh about it, right? Nothing else we can do. And so, here we see blindness. Certainly when you're blind, you can't see. And if you're spiritually blind, you can't see that you're spiritually blind. That's the problem. And so we see a man here that had physical blindness. He as yet didn't know the Lord, so in a sense, he was still in a spiritual darkness as well. And I want to talk about 4 points about this man. We see that he cried out to Jesus. Jesus stood still. Jesus told him that his faith made him whole. And I want to talk about that just a little bit, about his faith. We look about the origin of his faith, the origin of faith. You know, Jesus told him, and say at the end of the text there, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. But we start thinking about that. Well, where did he get the faith that he had? Where did he get it? I mean, obviously, he didn't get his faith by anything he saw. Jesus had been walking on the earth. He's pretty much near the end of his ministry now. He's going on through Jericho. He's going to go to the cross. Not very long, he's going to be crucified and gone. So he's at the tail end of his ministry, the time that he'd been on the earth ministering to people's needs. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had healed lepers. He had healed other blind people. He had healed them of their blindness. He had taken care of all sorts of manner of sickness, disease, and cast out demons. He'd turned water into wine. He had fed 5,000 with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. I mean, he had done some miracles along the way, and people had actually seen those things take place. I mean, it's one thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to see. But, think about the day we're living in. What do we, Jesus hadn't walked in the flesh on our time. We just heard about it too. I mean, we haven't seen it in that same context. And so we think about this man's faith. He didn't get it from anything that he saw in his day. You know, day in, day out, I believe he just sat. What people would do, they just begged. I mean, they were at the mercy of the people. And you can see him. I mean, I just picture things in my mind. He probably sat cross-legged down there on the side of the road. I don't know if he had a friend, maybe helped him every day get to a place where it'd be where people would pass by. Maybe somebody helped him get there somehow every day. And he sat there and he was begging day by day. But I noticed something. If you've ever been around anybody that's been blind or has been blind, especially somebody blind from birth, they have very good hearing. I mean, there are people that are blind and that are deaf too, but people that are blind have their hearing. Their hearing is very acute. You've seen the story. I had a movie about Ray Charles, and I've read about Ray Charles over in time. And Ray Charles said what he did was he always wore real hard-soled shoes. Not like these old soft ones we got now. Or soft shoes are representative of our society, I guess. But he had the hard-soled shoes, and he said that when he walked down the hall, see, his shoes were making noise, and when he came to a doorway, the noise changed, the sound changed just a little bit. And if you ever noticed that, if you ever been in a hallway where you had something where your shoes were making some noise, you'll notice that the sound changed. And he said that's the reason he did that, because he would know if he was going down a hall or down even a road. He said sometime, and when he got to a place where the geography changed, he could hear. And he knew that there was a place, that there was a doorway there on the side, and that helped him along the way. And so we think about Bartimaeus. He sat there day in and day out, and I believe that he could hear conversations. I was noticing sometime we get in church and everybody's talking, and you kind of got to focus in on a little group, if you want to get in on what's going on and everybody's talking, say, at fellowship time. I believe he had the ability. He probably could hear a lot of things going on at once. I mean, you're blind, you're in darkness, and he could hear the conversations of people. And I believe that this name Jesus started popping up. He started hearing about that. He started hearing about this fellow named Jesus. That's the same way people hear about it today, by the way, through voice. And he kept hearing that, this word Jesus. And they said, man, did you hear about, I mean, you can imagine if Jesus was walking in this day and boy, down there, and we went down to the Mountain View Cemetery or something, and somebody came out of the grave, man. I mean, your text, you'd blow your phone up, man. People would be on there texting, and they'd be telling you all about it, and the phones would be going off and ringing. people talking about it, and we'd be talking about it for a long time. And he healed somebody who was healed from blindness or leprosy or lame, and just got up and walked, and everybody'd be talking about it. And you think about it in that day, listen, they didn't have MTV. They didn't have 24/7 television and entertainment and this and that to go. You know, entertainment was, you know, you talked. That's what you talked to people. And so everybody was talking about it. This was the thing. Did you hear? Did you hear? And this guy's sitting there listening, and I'm tell you what, he started hearing about this guy Jesus, and he probably, I'm just assuming this, that he heard that he had healed somebody that was blind. Actually, Jesus healed somebody on the way into Jericho, and now he's on the way out. And there have been some other people, and I think about that. He heard about that. And, Jesus was on people's lips, and what he'd done was on people's lips. And, I tell you what, just a side note, no extra charge for this, but boy, that's how it ought to be today. If we're saved and we're God's people, what we ought to be talking about on our lips all the time is what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus is going to do. That's what we ought to be talking about, so that when our friends and neighbors is lost, and man, all you ever talk about is Jesus. Boy, what a great accusation to have thrown about. All you ever do is talk about Jesus, what Jesus has done, what Jesus, man, that's good, because if you're without hope, I'm going to tell you what, if I'm blind, and you know somebody that can cure blindness, I'm hoping and praying that you're going to talk about that when you get around me. Man, there's somebody can heal you of blindness. We heard about it, man. And I mean, this guy's getting excited about it. He probably heard that. And all of a sudden, man, you went from being totally hopeless. Think about it. You know, blindness, even in this day, is not always a curable thing. Even with they got eye transplants and this, but sometimes that won't work. And So it's a pretty hopeless situation, although we have modern medicine that sometimes can help. But think about it in that day. If you were blind, there was no hope. I mean, you were going to be blind the rest of your life. You were blind. He'd been blind all his life probably already. And so it was a hopeless situation. All of a sudden, you never had a light, a ray of hope in your heart about being cured of this blindness. You know, you're just going to be sitting there a beggar. All the dreams that you and I have was out the window for this guy. He couldn't even get a job. And probably, who knows, what, you know, anything that you might think of that you would have as a dream without being able to see, you couldn't have it, especially in that day. And all of a sudden, he heard about this guy, this man, that could heal him of his blindness. And I'm going to tell you what, for the first time in his life, in that area, some hope. Man, I mean, it was some hope that sprang up in a way. Could it possibly be? And then, so there was a glimmer. You know, it just doesn't take much, but it was a glimmer of hope. I mean, what are the odds that Jesus is going to pass by? What is the odds that Jesus is going to meet you? I'm sure all that was going in my mind. It may never happen, but there's somebody in the world that can heal me of my blindness, and there's somebody in this region that we live in that can heal me of my blindness. He heard about that. I believe his heart must have just leapt, that he had a chance went from being hopeless totally and helpless. Maybe there was just a chance. It was something. You got to have some hope, you know. And he saw that. And so that ray of hope. And maybe he was even skeptical at first, thinking, I don't know. But I believe that people kept talking about it. Crowds of people, they kept going by at different times. Boy, did you hear about it? And maybe this guy had some friends or somebody that helped him, and they said, you know, we heard about a man that can heal people of blindness. Maybe they gave him some encouragement about it. But here they were, and, you know, just an impossible thing. But I believe that he wanted to believe it. Man, he wanted to believe it with all his heart because it was the only hope that he had. And I believe that he dwelt on it. He kept thinking about it. That just one day, maybe, I mean, he couldn't travel around a lot. It was hard to get around. You know, when you have to watch, if you're blind, you're thinking, you always worry about something hitting you in the face and, you know, where you're going to step and what you might fall into, run into. And so he didn't travel all that much, I don't believe. But there was something there. There was a hope that he'd heard about that. Maybe he had been around the old synagogue and heard some readings from the Old Testament where it said that the Messiah, when the Messiah would come, that he would open the eyes of the blind. That was probably speaking spiritually, but maybe he didn't know that. And maybe he meant that, hey, he did open them spiritually and physically too. Maybe he heard them Old Testament scriptures, and maybe he started thinking, you know, maybe this guy Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe this is it. Maybe this guy had more faith. Maybe this guy had more foresight, being with this his only hope, that this was Jesus was the Messiah, because a lot of people that could see him never believed that he was the Messiah, and they still don't to this day. So his faith, you know, it certainly didn't come by sight, but it came by hearing. It came by hearing, and that's what we see. You know, the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight, but by faith. You know, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. That's the way it is today because we didn't see Jesus do these things either on earth, but we know what he can do and has done in our hearts. Amen. And so then we see the origin of faith, and then we see the grasping of faith, the grasping of faith. You know, Jesus was leaving Jericho. He was followed by his disciples, and in verse 46 of our text said it was a great number of people, a crowd. And like I said, Bartimaeus, I believe he could hear pretty good. So I believe that, you know, when you sat there and, you know, he could tell by the sounds approximately what size the crowd was, if it was just one or two people or if it was a multitude of people, he could tell that. We could tell that probably as well. And he heard that. And then also by the way people talk, you know, you can tell if there's excitement, if there's a buzz. You know, you ever been around, we got that phrase, says, well, boy, there was just a buzz in the air. Well, it's not. There's not a buzz in the air when everybody's sitting there quiet, right? There's no buzz in the air. But when there's people that are excited and everybody's talking and, you know, people are talking fast, they're talking excited. I believe that he heard, and here's Jesus coming. He's coming through. He's got his disciples. He's got a crowd walking along with him. I believe that it was an excitement there, and maybe he asked a question. I mean, it would be logical that he would say, well, what's going on? What's all this excitement about out here that I hear? And somebody probably said, it's Jesus. And this is that one guy. he'd already heard about him for who knows how long. He probably had heard, and he sat there and he's thinking, man, this one guy, you know, I'm blind. I mean, day in, day out, the hours just drag. I'm blind. And they said, man, it's Jesus. It's the guy. It's the man. It's the man. You got to believe what this guy must have thought right then. I mean, right then, I mean, the excitement level and his adrenaline probably just skyrocketed. And it says in verse 47, right there of our text, it said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I got to thinking about that. I mean, remember what we talked about on Wednesday night? We're doing a Wednesday night Bible study on prayer itself. And there's an attitude, there's two attitudes that you have to have at least for effectual prayer. And the very first one is helplessness. That sense of helplessness to the point there's things we can't do anything about our own salvation. I mean, we can't save ourselves. There's things like that. And so here was this spirit of helplessness right there. And I started thinking about it. He cried out. It said, use that word cry. That's a strong word right there. And I mean, I don't think he just said, oh, hey, Jesus, man, somebody. No, I believe I can hear. You know, this guy cried out, you know, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, it's your only chance. He's going by. You're sitting on the ground, and you're blind, and you can't see, and there's probably not a lot of people that's going to help you. As a matter of fact, it said in the text that some of them told him to shut up. I'm using strong words there, but they told him to be quiet. Don't bother him. Just be quiet. And he's shouting out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Jesus. Jesus at the top of his lungs, man. I mean, it wasn't like a Baptist sing-along at church, you know, when we're singing him. I mean, he wasn't mumbling. I mean, he wasn't stuttering. It wasn't one of them mumbly prayers. Well, Lord, you know, you got to get up there with a megaphone to hear what the prayer. I mean, this guy's crying out because he was desperate. That's it. And we get excited about it. Man, I mean, you know, you can, I don't know about you, I'll be screaming at the top of my lungs. By the time he got there, I probably wouldn't be able to talk, man. I'd be screaming, this is it, because he didn't know, and it was it. He was on his way to the cross. He wasn't coming back through Jericho again. He wasn't coming back. He was on his way to the cross right then. And so it was a opportunity. It was a slim opportunity, but it's an opportunity. And I tell people, listen, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Man, I'm telling you what, I really don't have a lot of confidence when people say, well, you know. I've dealt with people about salvation. And I've talked to him about the Lord and what he did and how he died. And I preached a funeral service yesterday for, I didn't know the people. I've met the lady whose husband died one time, didn't know a single other soul in there and didn't know where they were. And I, you know, so I gave them the gospel in a, you know, in a funeral service. You don't usually do a lot of shouting and get too excited. You're trying to just, you know, but I was trying to give them the truth in that. But I say, here's the thing. You know what? If you want it. If you really want it. And I've talked with people one-on-one about salvation, set in their house. And you give them the gospel, you show them the reason that we're sinners is that we're born that way because of Adam's sin, the sin nature. And I told them at the funeral, I said, look, I've given you a lot of information, and it's the condensed form. there's more details, but the condensed form is we're born sinners. There's nothing we can do about it, but God sent his only son to die to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life, and that's, he's our substitute, and That's the gist of it right there. And I've told people that, and they sit there, and I say, well, you know, do you want to get saved? Well, I don't know. I'm just not ready. Let me think about it. And it's just like you feel like you got them by the arm, and you're going, come on, man, just get down here to Jesus, man. I got to tell you, that's what you feel like. You know, you're just like, oh, and then, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence that they really got saved. It wasn't by, hey, Bartimaeus, it's Jesus. This guy's healed some people from his blindness. They've healed people from being blind. Do you want to have your blindness healed today? I don't know. Let me think about it. I don't think I'm ready. That wasn't the case, man. I mean, listen, and that's it. I don't want to drag anybody to Jesus either, man. Do you want to get saved? Do you want it? Then cry out. Yeah, I want it, man. I want it. Listen, you know, do you want $1 million? Well, let me think about it. I don't know. I'm ready. You got $1 million? I'm ready. You know, you got to cry out. Let me have it. I'll take it. You know, send it on. You know, like that guy said, if money is your problem, send your problems to me. I want it. But this guy, he wanted it. And there's so many people, man. Listen, I'm done begging people to get dragging them down. I'll explain it all, and I'll tell them. And if you want it, get saved. If you don't, see you later. See you later. I'll pray for you, and I'll talk to you again. I'll do whatever I got to do. But, man, listen, it doesn't work anyway. But I see this guy. There's nobody begging him. Nobody telling him. They're trying to stop him. They're trying to discourage him. Be quiet. But he says, no, listen, I'm telling you what, man. He was desperate. And Jesus was as close to him as he was ever going to get in the flesh. He was as close as he was ever going to get. He was never going to get any closer because he was going to the cross. He was going to die crucified. As far as we know, he was going to be as close as he could. That was it. That was the chance, man. It's the chance. I believe there's people, we talked about it at Sunday School Hour, I believe there's people in the world that God's dealt with their heart. There's no, listen, Jesus only got to deal with you one time. That's it. He can speak to you one time. He may never speak to you again. He may speak to you 10 times, but he's not obligated. He could talk to you, that woman at the well. Remember that woman? He was passing along. I got to go through Samaria. He went and talked to her at the well. He left. But if she hadn't trusted the Lord that day, he was leaving. He was leaving, man. And Jesus didn't drag anybody. Keep going back, worrying about it, man. He just talked to him, gave him the truth, and that's it. And, man, so here he was. He got in a desperate. He had a desire. He had a hope. And, man, I'm going to tell you what. Everything, when you think about it, was against him coming to Jesus. Everything was against it. He couldn't really get up and walk. It did say he stood up and came, but I mean, just all the conditional things. The crowd was against him. Satan was against him. His blindness was against him. The odds were against him in every department of his life. But he cried out. He said, "Man, I've got to have it. I've got to have it right there." So it brings us to this point: the cry of faith. The cry of faith. He cried more. It says he cried when they tried to stop him. It says he cried the more a great deal. Man, that would be, you wouldn't shut me up, man. I mean, I'd have been screaming, man. I'd have been out screaming all of them, man. If this is my only hope, think about it. Blindness, man. I mean, when you're desperate for that and you're blind, and how desperately would you cry out? How desperately would you cry out if you were blind, if you've been blind all your life? And all the only hope that you had was right there close enough to hear you cry out. The only hope in the world. Close enough to hear you. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We look at our prayer life today. People say, well, you know, preacher, Lord just don't seem like he answers my prayers. Are you crying out? Are you just muttering and mumbling and doubting and half-heartedly going at it? Praying. Listen, every muscle is, I can see him, just every muscle in his neck strained. He's got his head up just screaming from where he sat, crying out to Jesus. And the world and the flesh and the devil tells us to be quiet too. But faith cries out. He said, have mercy on me. I like that. You know what he didn't? He didn't say, well, Jesus, look, here's my problem and here's how to fix it. A lot of people pray that way. Lord, here's the problem, and this is what you can do to fix it. Do this step, and then everything will come out all right. No, he said, just, Lord, be merciful on me. I mean, everybody knew he was blind. He could see he was blind. Jesus asked him a question eventually, but Jesus already knew. He asked him that. You know, He just said, have mercy. And then what I like this, and this is where I got my title from, in verse 49 it says, and Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still, stopped him. Stopped him in his tracks. All that multitude of people. And you know how the prayer list goes around here. I'll guarantee you there was people that had problems. Other problems. Physical problems. Besides the spiritual problems. But the one guy that got Jesus' attention. The one guy and all that crowd, they're all walking along. The crowd's just running along behind. Some probably just for show, just to see what was going to happen. There was people that followed Jesus, didn't really have faith in him. They just wanted to see something for entertainment. And he followed along behind him. But this one guy cried out desperate. Jesus stopped. I believe he looked that way. Just speculation. He said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Man, I mean, it got his attention. That's the prayer that gets his attention. And so many people today that they just think, well, you know what? The relationship with God is, they don't see it or they don't feel it because they don't, it's not wanted bad enough. They don't want it bad enough. They don't cry out to Jesus. They don't depend on Jesus. They're not totally helpless in that sense. And this, and then finally the same crowd that was telling him a few minutes ago, kind of trying to quiet him down there when he was crying out, they said, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Man, you can imagine what he said. You think where his heart's at now. He had been blind, and for a time he had zero hope, nothing. He knew this is the way it was going to be all his life. And then he heard about this man named Jesus that could heal the blind, and there was this little ray of hope that popped up there. But, you know, like us, we would, you know how we are, pessimists, I guess, instead of optimists. Well, what's the odds of Jesus, me getting to see him? What are the odds of that? But then he heard the crowd. And then they said, what's going on? And Jesus is coming. And it kept escalating, and it kept escalating. And then Jesus cries out or stops and calls out to him. And imagine just, oh, man, this is it. This is it, man. I mean, Jesus is stopping. And they said, he calleth for thee. And I like what he said, and when it brings us to the obedience of faith, the next point, obedience of faith, is that Jesus stood still, verse 49, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. Verse 50 says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Man, I tell you, there's some obedience right there. And I like that. Don't take this lightly. It says that he cast away his garment. Listen, clothes in those days were very valuable. Most people only had one set of clothes and they were wearing them. If they were a little more fortunate, they had another set, one other set. People didn't have ladies, they didn't have to stand in a clothes closet on Sunday morning for put three dresses on, two different pair of shoes. I see you, lady. I know how. And then wondering, oh my gosh, man, going around. They didn't have all them options. This would help you out. they didn't have to change clothes three times, man. They had one set of clothes and your garments. I mean, this was like very, you know, it was all you had. And then you see blind Bartimaeus. This guy, he's blind and he's poor. And probably what he had on was all he had. But he had this garment. It was probably something maybe in the morning it was cool, and maybe it was something that he put on him to keep himself warm, and then as it warmed up during the day, he kind of took it off, but he held on to it. Didn't want nobody to steal it because this was like money. I mean, they didn't have, currency wasn't always used that often in those days. They traded things, and he had clothes. But it said when Jesus called for him, it said he arose and he cast that garment down. See, that's a picture of getting rid of anything in your life that would stop you or slow you down from getting to Jesus. He might have thought, I might trip on it. It's just in the way. I'm going to Jesus and I don't need nothing else. And I threw that garment away. He threw it away. And see, a lot of people in their life, they got stuff in their life that is a hindrance. There's a hindrance to salvation. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, well, I'm not done sinning yet. I said, I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to be done sinning. He had the thought, well, you know, I'm going to do all the sinning I want to do and then I'm going to get, you know, turn to Jesus. I'm not, but you know what? You're never going to get to that point. There's people that got these little pet things. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, I want to get saved, but I got something in my life. I got to take care of it before I get saved. You know, that kind of thinking right there. And there's other things. And there's these, we give Jesus part of our heart, but there's something that we're holding back. We got a room in our heart that we won't let him into. And we got this vice or just something that we want to hold on to, some kind of a pet sin. some kind of a thought, some kind of a philosophy, something that is stopping us from coming to Christ. And it's a hindrance for the full relationship that we could have with Jesus Christ. And it's even in the lives of people that are saved, but yet they still have something in their life. But this guy, I like the fact he took this thing, anything that would weigh him down. Now, Paul even talked about it. I talked about running a race. He said, cast aside all your cares, anything, every weight, I think is how he worded, cast aside every weight, anything that would slow you down from getting to Jesus. This guy didn't even know that verse, and he threw his garment down, and he came to Jesus. Man, what a picture of our need of all the things, like I say, that we hang on to. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Well, I'm going to tell you something about taking up a cross. It's a two-handed job, and you're not going to hold on to the world and try to get that cross up on one foot and flick it up there so you can get a hold of it and hold the cross and drag it along. No, you're going to have to let that world go and get that cross and follow Jesus. And that's what this guy, it pictured what this guy would do right there. And like I said, nobody begged him. Nobody drug him down there to Jesus. He didn't have to think about it. How about this one? Well, I'm real busy right now. I got something else I got to do. You're blind. You got a chance to be healed of your blindness. And you got something. What do you think was more important and what the most important thing in that guy's life was right at that second? But yet so many people will put off coming to Christ for their salvation. They're spiritually blind. They're on their way to a Christless hell. But I got something else to do. I got something else to do. No, he didn't have anything else to do. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Buddy, I mean, he didn't have that verse either yet, but he was on his way right there. And then Jesus asked him a question in verse 51, and Jesus knew the answer. But he said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know, what's your need? What do you want? I tell people this all the time. Well, you know, preacher, I just have a hard time talking to people about the Lord. I just have a hard time being a witness. I'm just such a coward. I'm afraid. Well, ask Jesus about it. If that's your need, if cowardice is your problem, ask the Lord for courage, boldness, words. I don't know what to say. Ask the Lord to put the words in your mouth. He's capable. He said he would do it. Actually, we got a promise on that. He said, I'll put the word. Don't worry about what you got to say. He said, I'll put the words in there. I mean, whatever it is, but we don't tell him what we need. We just, you know, we don't even, it's never in a sense, in the spiritual sense. Tell him what you need. This guy, there was no question about it. What was his need? He knew he was blind. See, our problem is we don't know what we need. A lot of people don't know what they need. What we think we need is not what we need, and what we don't even think about is what we need, you know, in the spiritual sense. But he knew he was blind. And that was the one thing. He said, that I might receive my sight. That's what he needed. Now, Jesus took care of some other things spiritually, I believe, in his life. But he said, I need that. No hesitation, no stuttering, point blank. Here's my need. And the Bible says immediately he received his sight. Now think about this. Can you imagine? You've never been able to see. You don't know what people talk about. Well, look at that pretty red dress. What's red? Or look at that blue sky. What's blue? Look at this, you know, green grass. He didn't know none of that. A building. Look at the temple. Isn't it pretty? Look at people's faces. Look at that lady. Isn't she pretty? He didn't know what a pretty lady looked like. He didn't know what nothing looked like. He could say with confidence like me, getting better looking every day, because he didn't know. He didn't know that. Think about it. There's a guy that we have comes tunes our piano sometimes when I have him tune this piano over here. His name's Henry Boynton. He's blind. And Paul knows him, and he plays music and stuff. And you know, one time he was here, and I'd come in, it's real quiet, and of course, he'd never have the lights on or nothing because he can't see. And, you know, we were sitting here talking. He's a very intelligent guy. He's got to be intelligent. He listens to me on the radio, he said. So, you know, just kidding with you. We were sitting there, and I said, Henry, I want to ask you something. I said, is it okay if I ask you about your blindness? I mean, some people are sensitive, but he's been blind all his life. I said, is it okay? He said, no. He said, that's okay. I said, have you ever been able to see? And he said, no. I said, can you see anything? He's sitting over there. He was over there at the piano, on this piano, I think. And he said, you know, if I look over there where the windows are, he said, I can see some brightness. And he said, if I went in front of the window, he can tell there's a shadow or a shape there, but that's all. If I wasn't in front of the window, he couldn't see me at all. Couldn't tell. He could just see brightness. And I kind of asked him about that curiosity, and I think one time I talked about that when I preached on this text before, right there. And I just started thinking about it. Imagine him and or Bartimaeus. Immediately your eyes. Now, I'm going to tell you, I went to the eye doctor the other day, and they got the lenses, you know, and you look in, read this line, read that line, read that line. And depending on which line it has over there, it tells you what your vision, 20, whatever, you know. And I got down, he got my lens right, and I got on the 20/20 line, and I could read it. I said, it's awesome. Now I got contacts, I can read 20/20. Great. I believe when Jesus healed Bartimaeus of his blindness, he had the best 20. If there's a better 20/20, he had it. I believe there was nothing wrong with his vision. I mean, I believe that it was a perfect, he had a perfect vision. It wasn't that he had to have contacts. He didn't have to go down and get glasses. I believe it was a perfect vision that he had given that. No God. And, you know, he saw all the colors for the first time. You imagine the first time. I mean, you and I are not fascinated by it. We see it. We're jaded because we see it. The first time, man, all of a sudden you see red. Jeffrey got a red shirt on. Marge got kind of a red thing. And Doris, you see red and blue and green, and you see it. And you start looking at people's faces, and you say, good night. You know? You start seeing people's faces, and you start seeing all those things. Can you imagine how? Oh, my man, I mean, it's just, I can see. And your mind would be racing, and you're just going. And he's looking all around, and he's seeing it all. What would you do? What would you want to do right then? I mean, now that, you know, you just, you know, is that a tree? Is that what a tree is? I mean, what would you want to do? If his parents were living, do you think he'd want to go see his parents' face? I don't know if he had a wife, but probably didn't, but if he did, maybe he wouldn't want to see her. No. Kids, friends, homes, maybe the temple. What would you want to see? Houses, water maybe, mountains, animals, all the animals and everything. Everything's new. Everything. Just the ground. He didn't know what he was sitting on. Every little thing, every rock, ant, fly, everything that you can, it's just millions and millions of things. But look what it says in verse 52, I love the last part. And he followed Jesus in the way. Followed Jesus in the way. Of all the things he could have done. All the places he could have went. Now following him, he was going to see things, I get it. But we can see. And all the things we see distract us from the Lord. They take us away from Jesus. Here's a guy that could just see for the first time. And he said, man, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A million other things. No excuses, no reasons. He followed Jesus. Oh, man. I tell you what, if we were blind and Jesus could take away all the distractions of our life, if Jesus took our sight, how much more desperate would you be? How much more dependent? How much more fervent would your prayer be if Jesus took your sight away? He gave this man his sight. He followed Jesus. In your mind's eye, can you see his face? Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm almost done. Hang on. Can you see his face? I'll guarantee you, man, he'd be right here in the front row. Huh? He'd be right here in the front row. And when we were singing them hymns, he'd sound like old Zach, you know, Zach that sings up here in the front. You know, praise God. I mean, he'd be singing at the top of his lungs. And I mean, man, he'd be praying when he prayed. You'd hear what he prayed about. I mean, there wouldn't be no muttering, no mumbling, no excitement, no laying out, no being lame and lazy. I'm going to tell you what, that guy would be on fire for God. I guarantee, I would love to see that guy be a church member, buddy, right there. It's somebody, he'd be singing right up there along with Mary Magdalene. Huh? And that old publican tax collector that everybody hated at Jesus Save, I like to have them up in the choir. I like to have them in the front row of the church, buddy. They'd be blowing the socks off everybody when they sing because they got something to sing about. Puts us to shame sometimes, really, doesn't it? It puts us to shame on how we worship God. But think where he'd be right there. His faith stopped Jesus in his tracks. Jesus met his need. What about you? What you need? What is your need? You need to be saved? When Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole, because he exercised faith, not only was he cured of his blindness, I believe he was a saved man from that day forward. Whole means complete. What's your need? We know about our physical needs, but can you see your spiritual need? Can you see your spiritual need? If you need Jesus, you need to be saved. Listen, I ain't going to drag you down the aisle either. You just cry out to Jesus. Let's all stand.